content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in,
that's your problem.
Everybody, welcome to Spiritually Raw. Today's episode is the Q Corner, and as you can see, we have not just one great guest, we have two great guests, and we are excited to get the show rolling. We have a lot to talk about today, and without further ado, Jay, why don't you introduce our two great guests today?
Let's roll right in, everybody. Real quick, before we get there, and before I bring them on, because you can see that they're right there ready to jump in, and we got a lot to talk about, and so little time to talk about it, and I just want to remind you, while you're on here, when you're watching this video, don't forget to hit the subscribe button and share and like it, because it's going to get this word out, and it allows us to be able to get this amazing shows that we're about to have today with, for example, with these two gentlemen here. So I'm going to dive right in here and give you a quick introduction. You all know Sean Morgan from our Q Corner. Sean's an expert in all things QAnon, independent journalist and author of QAnon for Beginners, and co-author of Patreon Riches. You can find Sean at QAnonFAQ.com, and also check him out on YouTube at Sean Morgan. So just by then, Sean Morgan. And we'll have links for you, for everybody too. Also, welcome him back, because we had a great time with you, Pastor Tibbs. That's great. Good to have you back again. He's former captain in the U.S. Army, author Theologian.
I hope Theologian.
No, I messed up last time, but you all know what I was talking about, right? End times expert with a prophetic edge, Pastor Calvin is trained to work with people from the blueprint of their intelligent design. And we asked both of these, and you can find him out and support what he's got going on at kdchurch.org. And again, those links will be up there for you to be able to check that out during the show and after the show too. We asked both of these gentlemen to come on here today to give us their insights about what is going on right now and help maybe bring some sanity to it. So, gentlemen, thank you both. I'm welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Normally, we would start, you know, just with the Q Corner, but there's been a lot going on in the past week, and I came across some articles that I thought would be really great if we could get both of your input on it. So, the first one was, if you don't mind, if we start with, before we get to the Q Corner, first thing that came up today, we didn't even talk about this yet, but defunding the police. And there was an article that came out, seems to be growing rapidly, especially even in just like the past few days. So far, currently, the cities that plan to defund the police right now are Portland, Oregon, LA, Minneapolis, Lansing, Michigan, Baltimore, Norman, Hartford, Connecticut, and Boston, and also New York. This seems to be an insane epidemic that's growing fast, and I wanted to get your feedback first before we really start getting into the other topics on what your thoughts are, both of your thoughts on this. And Pastor Calvin, do you want to start first?
Okay, I'll start first. It is a trick of the darkness. It is lunacy. It is a well-coordinated objective from the darkness to create anarchy under the cover of social justice. And social justice by itself is a false finish line, because we're already created equal under the eyes of the Lord. So to aspire to something that we already have just puts us out on a lost leader.
Yeah, I resonate with that. And I think that we do need to look at police reform, and we do need to look at how much money we're spending on these things. But this is not an authentic evaluation of our police departments. This is, like the pastor said, this is a very intentional plan to create chaos. There's mm-hmm. a reason why they're releasing all these felons and all these people at the same time that were in prisons. It's not because they're so afraid of people in prison getting coronavirus. It's because they're trying to foment the chaos. And so, you know, when you combine the fact that everyone's at home, they're going stir crazy and they're fighting with each other, and you've got the prisoners being released into the public and they're reoffending, and then you have organized riots, and you just add the defunding of the police and the police are being ordered to stand down as well. So, and then when people do finally get caught for breaking a law, there are these prosecutors and people in place and protected safe zones who are releasing them, and also rich people who are bailing them out. So it's all planned. You know, it's crazy that we're living in these times, because there's never been a coordinated effort like this to create chaos in the United States. So it's a historic time, and it seems crazy to say it's all planned, but all you have to do is read the headlines and it'll tell the whole story for you.
Wait, as they're defunding the police department, somebody asked me this question and I want to get clarity on this today. The monies that are being defunded from the police, are they the same money that would also be going to the firefighters, emergency service, paramedics, and also ambulance as well? Do you know?
It depends. I mean, in New York, they're trying to do $1 billion cut. This is one of the biggest cities in the world with the biggest budgets in the world. It's our hard-earned tax dollars. And, you know, that's supposed to go so that when a citizen has an emergency, like someone's trying to kill them in their house, they can pick up the phone and there'll be somebody on the other end that'll come and help them. Mm-hmm. But if they cut $1 billion of it, there's nobody gonna be on the other end of that line, or else they're gonna say, sorry, there's another emergency somewhere else, and we'll get to you when we can. And by that time, it could be too late. So this is where we have to get involved in our local governments, be at those city council meetings and stand up and say, wait, I need help with my emergency service. This is the minimal governments is supposed to do for us. So if government won't do this for us, what are they even here for at all?
Pastor Calvin, do you think that this is just going to start, or is it going to stop where it's at now? Or do you think it's going to start spreading like wildfire?
I think just like an unruly child that a parent lets get away with throwing ice cream on the floor because it's the wrong type, and any other mannish activity, until the parents, be they both citizens as well as those who are in authority, step up into their positions, I think some of it will go on. Mm-hmm. I think when the right person who is affected by this crazy activity makes a real statement about, well, I called and no one came and this is what happened, and then when that news story begins to catch, if you will, fire, mm-hmm. it's going to create the reality that something is wrong. But the major problem is that we've left the center of righteousness, and I don't mean self-righteousness or some kind of be good and go to church kind of thing. Going to church is a blessing, but a bunch of folks who go to church need far more than the activity of attending. So if the goal of this is to steer further and further away from God, because his righteousness requires authority, his righteousness requires the rule of law. So if people throw that out, again, in my estimation, this is a precursor to things to come if it's not stopped. But I think it's going to be stopped in these crazy places because most folks are going to leave. And then when anarchy breaks out, they're going to recognize they're not getting the tax dollar, and then they want to change because it's affecting the pocketbook.
So the actual virus in itself has a racist element to it, because the New York Times, Oregon County, it reported that Oregon County issues a face mask order that exempts non-white people, and Fox News, Oregon County's coronavirus mask order exempts people of color who have heightened concerns about racial profiling. Pastor, I'm going to jump right back to you on that. When you hear something like that, I mean, how does that even make you feel about your culture, your heritage, everything that, okay, how is this putting in there for you?
Oh, to me first? Well, it's unnerving to think that rational people think that it's a good idea to let any group of people get their way because of skin tones. Mm-hmm. The lunacy of that is being bought by both sides. And I don't mean everybody, but in general, like yesterday, I was getting a tooth pull, so I hope my face is not swollen. But
I'm sorry. We'll edit, man.
It's good. It's all you good. You're all good, man.
But I was looking out the window while I was waiting for the dentist to come in, and I saw a black man walking and a white man walking. And I just noticed when they got within, say, 20 yards of each other, the white gentleman walked into the parking lot like he was going to go to the store, only to resurface on the other side. So it was clear he was avoiding something. But what was he avoiding? Was he afraid? I don't know. But regardless, fear is working so well that people who would otherwise talk don't want to talk for fear of this new reality. So to be honest with you, for any person, be he black or white, but especially black people, to think that there is some social justice over being told something that's already true about you. In other words, all men are created equal by God. So being upset that somebody doesn't like you is the first problem. Because if I love and like and respect myself, I really don't need it from the outside as much as I need it from the inside. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and this is just an old communist Alinsky identity politics tactic of trying to categorize people and get them to identify with a category, when in reality, all of us have a mosaic of diversity of heritage. And it's hard to even say, if I had a really good tan, I might be even darker than Pastor Tibbs. So what right. your skin tone
Me
is
too.
And what your heritage is and what your nationality and your religion, all of these different categories are arbitrary. And it's interesting how Barack Obama always gets called a black person when he's a half white person. Mm-hmm. So why is that mm-hmm. being erased from his identity and his reality? It's really racist. It's really wrong to erase that heritage. And so I think the more they do it, the more they, people in the mainstream media and the left especially, do that, the more it makes people wake up and realize, hey, I'm not a category. It just feels wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's what I notice with my friends on the left and the right, and is that they don't identify with that category of being that thing that everyone wants to call them.
So do you think it's actually backfiring?
Yeah, it's all backfiring. I mean, I think that this, all of this chaos has to go to a certain point before people actually wake up and stand up in their authority and their sovereignty. But also the white hats, you know, because I'm coming from the QAnon angle of all of this, they're actually waiting too. They're waiting for the dark side to expose themselves, expose their plans, expose their nature. And we're waiting for the public to wake up to it and identify it and make a stand on it. And then they're going to make, take the actions that need to be taken. Look at how Trump has purposefully given authority, the rightful authority, to the governors and the states, because we're not in a dictatorship here. It's not like Trump is going to control everything with the military. No, mm-hmm. we live in a republic where representatives in each state get to determine their own, you know, they have their own little semi-autonomous governments there. So 50 different states with 50 different governors get to self-determine. And so the president's letting them do that, as they rightfully should. But they're exposing themselves. They're exposing the fact that they don't care about their people. And that's why Cuomo and Wolf and Whitmer and all of these governors have put COVID positive people into nursing homes, because they purposefully were trying to kill people. I know mm-hmm. that's hard for people to swallow, but why else would you put COVID positive people into a nursing home, or any kind of disease like the flu or anything with old people, when they are known to be the most vulnerable?
Pastor, do you see that as a man of God, when you take a look at it, kind of what Sean says, do you see that the Spirit or the Holy Spirit or God, however you interpret it, is waiting for these dark forces to really just kind of show themselves even clearer, so they can be destroyed that much easier? Is that how spiritually you see it? Or if not, how would you look at that?
I can definitely see that parallel. I think that Jesus is really doing more in his church without church being in session than most of us realize. There's a scripture that indicates he was headed, just to having gotten off of a boat in a place called Capernaum, to heal a person that was sick. And along the way, that's where we hear the woman with the issue of blood comes up behind him and touches him, and she's made whole. Well, when these people from Jairus's house arrived to Jesus, they said, "The daughter is sick, please come." He said, "Great, I'm going." Then someone else comes out and says, "She's dead, don't waste your time." So he gets there. While he's there, they're all crying. Well, if Jesus is in the room, why are you crying? That's a big question. Secondly, he says, "The daughter is asleep." Now they go from crying to laughing. So the reality, in my view, is right in that story, because mm-hmm. Jesus puts everybody out except for Peter, James, and John. If you will, the small number of those who will believe him and not laugh at what he's doing. Those who are a small number who will believe him despite what they see. So indeed, there is this falling away that's happening. And I think there is this sussing out. And I think what the Lord is doing is telling people, not I'm talking about the church building, but the people who possess him. He's saying to him, will you embrace what I want to do? Because I can do greater things than this dead situation in America, this dead situation in this room. But while people want to laugh, and I'm talking about folks in the body of Christ who really don't believe God beyond their personal strength, the difficulty there, he is waiting indeed for them to get it together where we can all trust him at whatever levels of our relative faith so that we can be contributors in the last days.
Sean, you made a comment. I want to just make sure I understood what you said correctly, that the White Hats are waiting still. What are they waiting for? At what point are they going to say enough is enough?
Well, first of all, I want to say amen to what the pastor said before, because we all have to have faith and agreement with a positive future timeline for humanity and for our country. And we all need to pray and act in agreement with that positive timeline. And that's what will manifest it. Q has actually said, life is what you make it. So if we're going into the wearing a mask, being in fear, that kind of mentality, we're going to manifest that reality of fear. So I really resonate with what the pastor was saying. But yeah, I think, I'm very impatient just like everyone else. I would like Trump and military to just step in and end the autonomous zone the day that it was started in Seattle. But look what happened. Look what happens. It's the art of war. You let the enemy destroy themselves. You don't have to waste resources on it. And you're able to get so many more benefits when the enemy destroys itself. So I think that's what's happening kind of on a larger scale. If you imagine the whole country is like that autonomous zone in Seattle where the chaos is allowed to happen, but then they end up destroying themselves and contradicting themselves. And then the Washington Post and the New York Times and all of these mainstream media sources end up contradicting themselves, and then more trust is lost, and then the average person just doesn't trust the left and doesn't trust the media and doesn't trust these talking heads anymore. And that's the end goal, is to get people to start thinking for themselves. This is a battle for your mind more than anything else.
You made some huge valid points, and it definitely helps put things in perspective. Looking at it from the other side of the coin, how does it help the other people who are for Trump but are thinking, why isn't he doing anything?
Right. I don't think I can relate. First of all, I can relate to this. I want, like I said, I want Trump and the military to step in and save the day. Mm-hmm. But that's giving up our own sovereignty. You know, because we, like, for example, I have a little situation in my hometown. I want to go to a co-working space, but they want me to wear a mask for 8 hours while I'm working. And so I said, who's the decision maker on this? Because I don't agree with it. And then they told me it was a whole board of people. That we were in big arguments about this. The whole board is disagreeing on this. Do you have any resources? So I sent them a bunch of resources so that they could have information and start doing critical thinking and start making better decisions. But that's what we all need to do with our local, in our own family, in our own town, in our own state. And, you know, part of me thinks, hey, I'm not going to wait around for the United States to get better. I am going to actually get talking with other patriots about creating our own jurisdiction. I know that seems like a real big dream, but I think humanity is definitely at the point where people of like mind around the world using digital communication can get together and say, hey, let's create our own constitution. Let's create our own country. And you know, so people can go live in Chaz in Seattle if they want, or they can live in like New Hampshire, which has a motto, which is live free or die, or Texas is another conservative state where they value these things. So, or you could create your own country. So we can't wait around for other people to create the reality we want. We have to participate.
So Pastor, with that being said, who governs us in that scenario? You know what I mean? So for example, if we're building our own things and who ends up governing this? And do you foresee this biblically?
Well, the reality of self-governance is throughout the scripture. And that's what makes America very unusual, because we don't have just one ethos here. We're a melting pot from many different places. So for example, when we say black people, it's not possible that that's every person of color, any more than when you say white people, it's the same thing. So it really does boil down to, in my estimation, the agenda that got this all started. This is an expansion program. The earth is an expansion program. God already ruled the heavens. The heavens were not an issue to him. He wanted to demonstrate his sovereignty, his grace, and his power by coming to a place and then coming inside of his creation as a subordinate, which is totally crazy, but it reveals the strength of his power. And like Sean said, which is so incredible, that statement, we're responsible for what we do with God. Mm-hmm. And however that looks in community or however it looks inside of us personally, we will ultimately give an account to him about what we did with him.
You know, that kind of leads me right into the next thing about, you know, who's playing God here. I want to read something real quick. I have to put on my glasses. Hold on a minute, people. Okay, so last week we talked about, Sean, if you remember, we exposed the truth behind Black Lives Matter. We followed the money trail. The money trail went right to Act Blue. And if you didn't catch that show, go back and watch it because it's really, really good. It talks about how the funds are being illegally used for the Democratic Party. But going forward this week, I want to talk about an article I read, and it was about the World Health Organization, and it was really disturbing, and I want to see how you both feel about it. The WHO has a program of sex ed for kids under the age of 4, and it includes homosexuality, pornography, and masturbation, teaching children how to masturbate with others. And the World Health Organization collaborated. It's a collaboration center for sexual and reproductive health. It was established in 2003, and it focuses on establishing standards for sexuality education, providing guidance for implementation, and supporting the implementation of training educators internationally in 14 countries on these topics for children under the age of 4. I don't know. It was very, very disturbing to me. Am I the only one? Am I the only person that thinks that this is like insanity?
You're not the only one. This is actually 99.9% of humanity. If they hear that, it wouldn't resonate with them. They actually need the medical tyranny and the other types of tyranny in the educational systems. They need to have parents give up their sovereignty over their children, and because parents are the rightful custodians of children until they're of age to make decisions for themselves. So these tyrants need parents to actually give up that sovereignty over their kids in order to make these things happen, because this is a battle, and the pastor can speak on this. This is a battle between innocence and evil, and we need to protect innocence as the most precious thing in the world, and that includes with things like education and sexual knowledge. So maybe I can pass it off to the pastor now to speak on that.
Pastor, how do you take that, what Sean was saying, and Sean was elaborating on what April brought up there, and is there a way from your perspective to stop it? I mean, inherently, when you look at that on the surface, it just, I don't know if it's, left, right, black, white, whatever, you know what I mean? It just seems inherently wrong, right?
14 countries,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the big deal. This is, and Sean mentioned this, this is what they're all racing for, because even the darkness understands that innocence carries a power. Innocence carries a power in the spirit realm, period. So the shedding of Jesus' innocent blood remits the sins of all of the world, because he, one, was God, and he was, two, a human. So that makes him legally capable of living, if you will, a life of redemption, payback, to cover the sins created by the first Adam. So with that in mind, innocence is important. So when you take innocence and go to the dark side, in the Old Testament, there were gods like Molech. These gods were all about mutilation. They were about self-sacrifice, children sacrificing. They were about Asherah poles, which were connected to sexuality. So that hasn't gone away. It's the same spirits back then that are alive now. And the high ground for those spirits is to neutralize the importance of innocence, where it's like anything else. That's the reason why the homosexual activity or the homosexual agenda, and even as Sean mentioned, the Alinsky objective, which is sex before 8 or it's too late. The goal of that is to create a clone of their objective, which is they get power from the darkness when they sacrifice innocence it emboldens the person because it gives more access to the demonic realm to speak and do things. So there is a battle for the innocence. And if you look at the younger people and the older people now being affected by COVID, it's once again highly targeted. It has an objective in mind, because if they can appease their God, in this case the demonic realm, then they get a certain amount of power because the person allows the power to flow through them.
Sean, getting back to defunding the police here, if they do defund the police in certain areas, is that to do things like what we're talking about right now, which is painting a much wider kind of scenario where maybe these are little trivial little laws that you shouldn't have to worry about, kind of things like that? Is that to minimize these things more?
No, I think the defund the police is more about creating temporary chaos for the re-election of Donald Trump, to try to prevent the re-election. I think in the long term, the goal is to have a communist type of dictatorship. We've all seen how that turns out in the world. But going back to the energetic spiritual battle that's going on, I truly agree with the pastor about this. And I think we would be remiss to not mention Planned Parenthood and abortions in this, because what's interesting about what the left has done with the, and I'm speaking about the leftist governors and so forth, during the lockdown, is that they kept Planned Parenthood open as if it was the most important thing in the world, is to keep the abortions going during the lockdown. So there's some kind of energy that they get from sacrificing the innocent. Mm. And I don't understand it at a surface level. I haven't really dived into that before, but there's a reason why those abortion clinics have stayed open during the lockdown.
We were just on a show previously with a lady about speaking of the energy of sacrificing the innocent, pastor.
Right before this one,
actually. And we were talking about
the adrenochrome,
where, there's a segment of the population that are actually truly physically, not even spiritually, but physically stealing the essence of these children to give them some sort of godlike
mortality.
Yeah.
Energy,
like that.
Youth.
Mm-hmm. Going to there. So what's your opinion on that? Because what's your vibe on that as far as that happening right now? Is that something that, is that considered like mark of the beast kind of stuff, that they would actually go there to be able to tap into that innocence, meaning that maybe because it's the closest form of God or true spirit?
Yeah, there's a lot of deception in that process. In the end, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Revelation chapters 12 and 13, and maybe even in 14, to me recently just got unfolded before my eyes as the real end game. The end game, in terms of those chapters, I was surprised to not find the word racism in it. It wasn't there. So the race card is not a card that even the Antichrist is playing. So that means if he's playing it now, what is he really up to? What he's really up to is what you just said. He's after the innocents, because the innocent do whatever you tell them to do. And what Satan thrives off of and desires is worship. So if worship is the end game, because it belongs to God and Satan wants the worship, it's easier to get it from a child. So Satan being an invisible force, but people being visible beings with invisible activity and action inside of us, if a person desires self-worship, then that person desires the power that really should be given to God. And now when Satan finds people who will shed innocent blood, sacrifice there, it does not matter, in order to gain access to what they possess, when that occurs, he gets worship. Worship has to, by default, be both a language and is also a commitment of submission. And the demonic realm thrives off of willful submission. It cannot by itself just enter people at will. Otherwise, a bunch of folks would be possessed by devils. Mm-hmm. Instead, he has to have the words and the will of people. And when he can get that, at that point, then he's able to use the worship to embolden himself by emboldening the confidence of the individual that he's possessing or working with. So that's how that comes.
Can I comment on that?
Please.
This reminds me of the part of the Bible when Jesus was tempted by the devil, and the devil is saying, just bow down just one time and you can have the whole world. you know, and that's what this whole thing, this meme of taking a knee is really about on a spiritual level. And so the I can't breathe, the taking a knee, the giving up your own sovereignty, it's all bowing down to something else bigger than you that's not God, that's not goodness. And so if it's not from God, then where is it from? And the other thing that this brings to mind is the mind control. So especially satanic ritual abuse that involves sexuality and could involve things like you were talking about with the blood, because in the Bible it does say the life is in the blood, and it commands Christians and even Jews in Deuteronomy not to ever consume blood of any kind, even of animals. Mm-hmm. There's definitely something to that whole blood thing. But I think the mind control is very important to understand, and this is something that the deep state and the CIA has perfected to a science called MK Ultra, and where they use abuse and trauma, and even the media is doing this now. That's why you see things about murder hornets and things like that. They're trying to traumatize you, and when you're under trauma, they can trigger that trauma in the future. And you saw this happen when during the Obama administration, when the guy Osama bin Laden was supposedly killed, you saw a bunch of people who were children at the time when the media was traumatizing them with that image and associating it. All of those people went into kind of a euphoria craziness. I don't know if you remember on the streets of DC when Osama bin Laden was killed, a bunch of young people kind of went a little crazy. They couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. But that was an example of mass trauma-based mind control through the media. It's happening en masse to all of us, but it's also down to a science and having individuals be mind controlled as well.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because when you put the pieces together with the trauma, well, first we had COVID. That didn't really work. So the media said, you know what, or the whoever you want to call, the Illuminati, the powers that be, whatever, COVID didn't work. Let's throw in George Floyd trauma that caused tremendous amount of trauma, which went, that didn't work to their fullest extent of what they were planning, I suppose. So next thing you know, they said, well, let's cause the riots. All of it leading back to mind control and trauma.
And COVID again.
There's more. Yeah, COVID. They're trying a second wave COVID now. Yeah. And people, a lot of people are waking up, because, you know, even the first time it was hard. It's hard to get, it's like, it doesn't resonate with human beings to give up our sovereignty. It doesn't feel mm-hmm. right to us. Mm-hmm. So when we're forced to put on the mask, when we're forced to put on the mask to even get food at the grocery store, it doesn't feel right. When we can't breathe and we can't get that oxygen, it doesn't feel right. And so this is just another opportunity for millions of people to wake up when they attempt this second wave scare.
Pastor, when you're ministering out there, what do you feel like the people that are coming to you to want to get some, you know, to get that healing, that just relief, that release, if you would? What is like the main core things that they're looking for, like, during this specific time?
You know, it varies. I'm around a bunch of people as it relates to our church that are being encouraged to wake up and indeed to look around. There are some others that I kind of hear little things about. One young guy's probably about 30. He's like, I'm scared. I'm scared of any and everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And then there are other people who are more on the fight, the power side of it. So I'm hearing all manner of positions, and I'm trying to help people understand that the one who is the creator of all of this, not the actions, but the world that we live in, he knows what he's doing, and everyone has a platform. And everybody's got to get on their platform. They've got to know why they're here, which is purpose, and to move it beyond the universal purpose to the unique purpose. Because there they will find a group of people who may love their work, but are worried about the world. And because of the goodness of the work, it opens the opportunity to start sharing. Mm.
Can I ask you this real quick again, Pastor, before we go to Sean on this one? So what do you say? So there's people that are worried about the world, right? So would they be better served by not so much worry about the world and just kind of like enjoy the ride, kind of thing like that? I mean, can they take that philosophy, or is that just way too naive, you think?
Well, because each person has value, and it's unfortunate that most people don't recognize or acknowledge the truth of the strength of their value. They're, again, wanting someone else to validate them. So that's a problem all by itself, because if validation has to come from the outside, it's already missed its first level of truth, which is inside of the individual. So to those individuals, I try to help them understand, number one, you're made for this. There's no coincidence. Out of 700 million sperm cells, you won the race. So if you won that race, you're not a loser.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And if you had nothing to do with winning, you had help. So the help that helped you before you knew you needed help is still here if you just ask. Mm-hmm. So the clarity of my purpose and my design potential connects me with answers to a group of people who have questions.
All right, Sean, let me ask you this. Awesome. I want to get to the Q notes here in just a sec, but I want to just ask your opinion on this, or if you've heard about this one, where Georgia apparently has kicked off some sort of chilling, if you want to call it, door-to-door. Literally, they're knocking on door-to-door kind of thing, or they're starting to, or putting some sort of bill together. I mean, you know more about it, right, as far as what's happening? That they're knocking on doors and just checking and see, hey, can
not
we...
checking, they're enforcing. They're saying, are hey, they, yeah.
They're, can we take your blood? Mm-hmm. And if they take your blood and you're a parent and you happen to do that, they're also saying that they could take your children away. And if you're found to have the COVID and put them in a safe place, happening
it's
right
not a safe place.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're at that precipice. We're at that juncture, that crossroads where we decide if we're sovereign or not. And we all have to make that choice every single day in our life with our relationships with others. And I just always give this example. When my son was born in the hospital, they tried to vaccinate him on the spot. And I just said, no, you know, and they respected me. You know, it's very hard to overcome someone who's standing in their sovereignty. And even though they say you must, and these are all legalistic terms like you must, and you're obligated and required and all this stuff. But, you know, we have to learn. And this whole mask wearing thing is a good exercise. If someone says you're required to, you can try, see what it's like to just stand in your sovereignty and not wear a mask and see what it feels like and talk to them about it. And so that's just another example in Georgia with the blood and things with them trying to take your children away.
It's like, you know, it's like child trafficking.
Under universal law. Mm-hmm. And this is beyond the United States. This is international here. No one has the right to take your children away. And so they have no legal right. They can try, but they have no legal right. And so you just have to stand in that truth and do the right thing. And there are thousands and millions of people who will stand behind you. And so, you know, it's time to stand in your sovereignty, stand up for what's right, and associate with people who feel the same, and you have power in that group as well.
Okay, Sean, you want to tell us what's going on the Q boards? Give us an update.
Sure. I will I'll read the latest Q post, because I think it's relevant to what we've been talking about. There was someone on the board, an anonymous person, who said to Q, I see what's happening, but I would like to see you guys doing something about it already. We know all of this. We're helpless to it. So the real question, Q, is do you see what's happening? And Q responded and said, fear not. You and we are not helpless. Enough people must see. It's the only way. You are being presented with the gift of vision, the ability to see clearly what they've hid from you for so long. Illumination. Their deception, dark actions are on full display. People are waking up in mass. People are no longer blind. Do you think it's a coincidence they banned and prevented you attending church, house of worship? Anti-American, anti-God. One must only look to see. Have faith in humanity. Have faith in yourself. Let light guide you. Find peace through prayer. Biblical. So this is the very typical fashion that Q communicates through in a format that's hard for artificial intelligence to detect and decipher with these short truncated terms and Socratic method. But it's really laying out that picture that we had today, that conversation where, hey, the white hats, they know what's going on. They're actually allowing the enemy to expose themselves right now. That's why they're not stepping in yet. And when there's enough of a critical mass of the public awake, that's when they will make their move. And remember, the white hats have a ton of weapons of information war at their disposal. We're talking about what's on the Wiener laptop. Okay, from Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner and Hillary Clinton. We're talking about the Uranium One, where Hillary Clinton, got paid off to sell a bunch of uranium to Russia, like the majority of the uranium in the United States, where that's how you make nuclear weapons. So we're talking about Spygate, Obamagate. So all of the intelligence leaders of the FBI and the CIA and all of those people, all of them are on the hook. They're on the line for doing illegal actions and crimes against humanity. So the hammer of justice is going to fall. It's going to be biblical. That's why the Q ended with that word. It's going to be historic and in biblical proportions. And so have faith in yourself. Have faith in humanity. Have faith that humanity will make the right decision about these things, because ultimately it's up to us.
Before we get to Pastor Calvin, I just want to address or say one thing. Thank you so much, Sean, for saying that, because it's ironic that we're even having this conversation today. And let me tell you why. You know, we're in this, we interview people all day, a lot of people in a week, and we hear all sides of the coin, and hearing everything, you still are like, and something happened this morning. We wake up and you watch the morning news for like 5 minutes. And even Jay was this morning, he was like, we love Trump. He's like, Trump's not doing enough. Why isn't Trump doing enough? Trump.
He went on this whole Trump thing.
Well, it correlates to this whole thing. And it goes through exactly what Sean was just saying, that he is letting it all unravel and collapse on itself. And that's what you have just brought a lot of awakening to, even to us who hear all different sides of the coin and research stuff all day long. But even being in it, you still have to take a step back and breathe and be like, it's all under control.
Pastor, when you see this and you hear Sean say through that you seem very stoic about it. Like, there's not really a surprise. Is this kind of right out of the playbook of the Bible? You see this? Or not the playbook, or
the playbook, like, really.
Or the playbook, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is in the playbook. And plus, some of what Sean is mentioning, I have been following. I mean, I have been aware of a lot of activity, maybe not at the breadth and depth that he is, but I'm quite aware of the Q drops. I'm quite aware of what he, or, it's not quite sure what he is or who he is, because he wants to keep that. But it does play itself out. And to me, it's like watching a football game. I mean, I don't miss football right now because I don't like some of the political overtones to a football game that gets as much coverage as the athletes themselves. But I do like the strategy. And a former military man and chess player, not extraordinary, you could probably beat me, but I like the strategy of it. And God, Cecil B. DeMille, one of the greatest directors of all times, has nothing on God, nothing. I'm telling you, he will make himself look like he's losing just to give the enemy another opportunity to demonstrate how low he is, how inept he is, and then draw him in at the last minute and pull the curtains right over him, or pull the rug from under. And he does it over and over and over, and Satan keeps falling for this. He fell for it at the Red Sea. I'm going to get those Israelites. And so he's just chonking, trying to get them. And the Lord waited until they got right close. And here is the issue again. And this is that part that I think Sean's talking about. And to your point, Jay, the Christians, the world is wondering, well, when is God going to do something? Mm-hmm. When is God going to rescue us? And then here's what comes out. We should have stayed in Egypt. We were at least fed back then. Now Pharaoh's going to kill us. Moses, they pointed the finger. What are you going to do about this? Then Moses turns to God and he prays. And God says something most unusual. Get up. What? What do you mean, get up? Get up, Moses. Moses was always accustomed, from the time he left Egypt to this point, when there's a problem, on your face, baby. And when you're on your face, you're praying. And God said, get up off of your face. Move the people forward. Well, you got to recognize the most formidable army in the world was pursuing. They could see the dust. The Red Sea was in front of them. What do you mean, get up and do what? And when he got up, all he was required to do is the same thing that we're required to do, a simple thing. What's in your hand? And he said to him, stretch out your rod. And when he did the simple, God did the supernatural. They opened up, he opened up the sea, and across they went. So now there's a bunch of craziness flying. Pharaoh's chasing, the army's going crazy, COVID, this, that, and the other. But what's the simple thing that we can do? Whatever that is, do it. It's connected to why you're here. You won the race, now run the race. That's the goal of this. So as far as I'm concerned, I can't wait to see how God does this, because he's greater than the greatest showman. Mm-hmm.
So. All right, well said, well said. All right.
You feel better now?
I do. Thank you, gentlemen, for the therapy session here. I was a little aggravated this morning.
He was very aggravated.
I was annoyed. This morning. Well, I got three dogs on me that don't let me sleep at night either, too. And it's like, damn, Trump, what are you going on? You fix these dogs then. Yeah, I really, really appreciate your time here with us, sharing this essence of yourself, your spirit with the audience. Sean, you got any final words for our audience you'd like to love and leave us with?
Yes, I'd like to close with a quote from Thomas Paine. That's Q posted on the board that shows us how precious that freedom is. It says, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and the thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a proper price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated." That's from Thomas Paine hundreds of years ago.
Amen, brother. Thank that was you. Really nice. Pastor, you want to give us the whole, you know?
Well, yeah, I like that move. That was
you want to give us that thing, man?
Well, I will. I'll bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May the Lord be so good that he gives you his peace, and may the Lord be gracious in the midst of it all. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
I want to thank both of you again, and I want to thank our audience for tuning in. I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, you know, again, just really enjoyed this so much. It's, mm-hmm. It just really brings the spirit. You can feel the energy. Whatever you believe or don't believe, you can just feel the energy. So that collective consciousness, however you want to call it. So thank you all for that. You know, just been a great time today. So, yeah, much love to both of you, you know, everybody tuning in.
May we never forget the best is yet to come. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.